Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about being just a housewife. I know there are a whole lot of people listening to me that are not housewives. They've never been housewives, and they never will be. And I know that many of you men appreciate those wives who do stay home. And some of you whose wives are out working perhaps are wishing that it were possible for your wife to stay home and be just a housewife. Well, that's in God's hands, isn't it? And I received a letter from a woman named Earlene, which I think is a very important correction and amplification of some of the things that I have said on the subject of women's roles. And I'm very grateful to you, Earlene, for this letter. She says, "I heard your broadcast today and found it interesting, and the segment yesterday as well. I listen often to your program while doing bookkeeping. I'm a woman of about the same age as you are, Elizabeth, a grandmother of five, and I agree with much you have to say about the high calling of motherhood. Training children and caring for their day-to-day needs is indeed very worthwhile. That's putting it mildly. The failure to provide the nurturing and training of children, future grown-ups, is tragic. There's only one premise that I find a bit disturbing in this whole discussion." That was a thought expressed in the letter from the man which you read on the air. "I don't disagree with many of his statements. However, when he stated that the feminists have trashed the vocation of mother and homemaker, he's only partially and superficially correct. You need to go deeper than the beginning of the feminist movement to find the root cause of this denigration of motherhood. Since I can remember, I have heard remarks and seen actions by men which relegate motherhood, housework, and all things considered feminine domain as of a much lower status and much less importance than anything considered man's domain. This very long-standing disregard for the importance of the feminine role by the men, whom women love and respect, has been the main cause of this rebellion of women. Any human being has a deep need to be valued. And if value is not received from one avenue of endeavor, it is only natural for anyone to look elsewhere for the respect one has need of. I'm not writing to defend feminists. That's not my agenda at all. I think, however, before men or women look at the feminists as the only evil in this dilemma, we had better recognize the reason why the feminists were able to get the acceptance they have. When husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, then such movements as feminism will not stand a chance. Now I know that the reason I have stated is not an excuse for the woman of God to give up her calling and go racing out into a career. But for all the women who are not yet Christians, the role of homemaker must seem a very thankless one, when the one person she most wants to please and to have respect from puts her down every day of her life. Since men are the heads of household, the ones in the leadership role, it is up to them to do what is needed by them to change this disregard for the importance of woman's role. They can't have it both ways." Thank you, Earlene, for that letter. You brought out a point that I had failed to make. Now here is a single woman's musings on motherhood, a perspective seldom considered by those to whom this unspeakable gift has been given. I speak, of course, of the gift of motherhood. This woman, Liz, my dear friend, always remembers to thank God for the gift of singleness. This is what she writes. "They say that time is running out for me as we, my friend and I, talk away on the phone when she casually mentions that she is pregnant again. This will be her fourth. Her first three coming as quickly as a storm. She didn't seem excited, more overwhelmed than anything else. Surprised, yes. Elated, no. Exhausted, perhaps, without the least bit of punch in her voice to express the holy path that her body and life will undertake in the next few months. And so I pace back and forth along my dirty oriental rug in my kitchen, watch through my window, look out into a gray-blue winter sky, and wonder if I should give her my, "Don't you realize what you have? Can't you see what God has given you?" speech. My speech, saying those things. "That's so exciting," I want to say. I say it carefully, keeping to my passive tone, she saying nothing as our conversation laps into a desperate, empty hole in the air. Needs to hang up because one of her children spills dirty water from the hanging spider plant all over the kitchen floor. Kaboom, whoosh, the end. Another friend is pregnant. My heart lands inside my feet again. The news hits me like a ton of bricks. I begin to think unkind thoughts about mothers complaining about dirty diapers and grocery store mishaps as I'm reduced to a primitive animal howling in the woods for my own little she-cub to take care of. Doesn't she realize that her talk about being pregnant is as casual as if she were talking about what color sweater to wear on Saturday afternoon? I want her to know what she seems to have forgotten. I want her to remember about the physical pain that comes month after month, year upon year, being a constant reminder that, again, not this time. I want her to remember the emotional wounds that we used to share when walking around in the world, watching a mother with her child snuggled tight against her chest, sleeping, comforted, safe, attached. All of our hidden primal instincts would rush out of us, and we would become groggy. Our hearts would break and become mush, and we'd have to run over and peek inside the baby blanket, to the delight of the parents, talking about giving up in an instant work schedules for formula, telephones, money, clothes, just to be able to stay home to watch our child take a nap in the middle of the afternoon. Don't you remember staring at women whose children seemed so perfect? Getting depressed over little sleepers and diaper bags that substituted for purses? Longing for little bibs and thinking about converting empty baby jars into storage bottles for safety pins and thumbtacks? Does she realize that in her little corner of the world, God has asked her to take on the most overwhelming, precious task ever undertaken by any woman? She has got to remember when we would sit around and look through all the picture books, talking in amazement, giddy because inside our bodies, behind all the darkness and the mystery of pregnancy, can the most intricate, outlandish, holy, sweet thrill be wrought. I don't think she quite remembers the holy, unspeakable possession that has passed through her body straight from the doors of heaven. Because I can hear it in her voice. It seems that this next child has become just another mouth to feed, another bottom to keep dry, another toddler to chase, perhaps, God forbid, when all the handprints have left the walls, when all the gooey messes have been scooped up off the floor, when her house turns silent. Then she will notice, through the dead silence, noticing then that eternity had passed right through her heart, right through her body, bringing sweetness and joy, mystery after mystery, holiness dressed up in baby booties and Snoopy pajamas. To the women who have children, dare to believe that heaven is much closer than you think. And to the women whose bellies have never been filled, watching, touching, feeling from a distance is perhaps the greater of roles. The lessons learned in learning to do without just might be our edge of heaven in disguise. A beautiful tribute to mothers, a beautiful reminder from my single friend Liz, to that mother who perhaps is so worn out, so weary, so discouraged, perhaps so lonely, surrounded by her 3 or 4 or 6 or 8 children. A reminder that God is with her, that she has been chosen as a vessel to bring a real, live person into the world. She is a cooperator with God, a shaper of destiny. I have been asked, what is the most fulfilling job God has ever given you to do? And by the world's terms, I have to admit that God has given me many jobs that the world would consider very fulfilling. I've been given the privilege of writing books, of lecturing, of broadcasting. I've been a missionary. I've been given the privilege of reducing unwritten languages to writing and translating some of the Bible. I've also been given the privilege of being a mother, and now a grandmother. I would trade nothing in the world for the privilege of being the mother of the only child that I have. Her father died when she was 10 months old. I didn't have any others. I didn't marry again till I was in my 40s. But I thank God that for years I was a housewife, a mother, raising a child in cooperation with God, a shaper of destiny, a life bearer. Be encouraged, you mothers who have been given that privilege. Thank God for it today. Sing about it. Lift up your praise to God as Mary did in that beautiful Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. And to you singles whose hearts ache, listen to Liz's words. The lessons learned in doing without just might be our edge of heaven in disguise.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.